Grace and peace be yours in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Who remembers the last time you started a brand new job? Isn't that nerve-wracking? That's where I am this morning. I've never been in this pulpit before. It's so good to be among you. I want to say a couple of things. Obviously, it is my first message among you, other than the funeral yesterday, of course. Some things I've heard. Pastor Sizemore was here for 20 years. I've heard only good things. The heart of the Lord he had for this congregation. And when a pastor of that kind of tenure leaves, there's a time of a mourning, isn't there? I arrive here from Danbury, Connecticut, where I served 19 years. So you know where they are this morning. I heard that Mount Olive called a different pastor this spring, and he declined. You might not know this, but I declined two calls this spring to other places, so I think the Lord has brought us together. Jesus Christ, let me say it this way, Jesus Christ is the Lord of the church, isn't that right? And we trust his work. Being a first sermon, it's also All Saints Day, and I want to blend these things together in a bit, but I want to mention this morning two things that you're going to hear from me until the day the Lord is done with me being here. Two things, and they're very simple. I'm sure you've heard them before, but I want us to be these things to be in our heart and our mind this morning. First thing is, we're saved by grace. Isn't that right? We are saved by grace. You're going to hear it and hear it. And the second one is, God wants us to grow. Not just to be saved and be stuck there, but to be saved and to grow. How often do we need to say things over and over again? If you're a parent, I'll ask you this. What do you say to your kids? If I've told you once, I've what? I've told you 1,000 times. You're going to hear from me till you're tired of it, that you've been saved by grace and that God wants you to grow. Now, when I say saved by grace, I want to be very clear what we mean about that, and that is this. In Christ, all sins are forgiven. Is that true? In Christ, how many sins? All sins are forgiven. We need to remember that. In Christ, all of our sins, not some of them, all of them. John, in Revelation chapter 7, I want to look at our readings. Revelation chapter 7, John is given a vision of heaven. A huge multitude, people from everywhere on earth. That's how the church is, right? Every tribe and language and nation and people. There's millions. It says you cannot count all those people. And an elder comes up to John and says, "Who are all these people? And where did they come from?" And John says, "I just got here. How do I possibly know that?" I'm paraphrasing. The elder says, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation." And I want to pause for a minute. Some of you have heard prophecy teachers. They talk about the great tribulation, a scary time in the future of all kinds of bad things happening. I want us to set that aside. That's not biblical. Because he uses a present tense verb. These are the ones who are coming, present sense, out of the great tribulation. So you know how they got there? Where did they come from? From life. Life is a tribulation sometimes. Life is full of joy and celebration, isn't it? Is it full of hardship and difficulty? Yeah. So how did they get there? The Bible is perfectly clear about it. It says they've washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. That's a grace thing, to wash their robes in the blood of the Lamb. What kind of detergent is blood? But this is the blood of the Lamb. They stand there, not in their merits, not in their works, not in their righteousness, but in the righteousness that comes through the blood of Christ our Lord. How many of their sins have been forgiven? All of them. Standing there in their white robes. In 1 John 3, verse 1, I always love this passage. I'm going to read it from the NIV. I think it's a little clear. "How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called the children of God." This is what I like. It makes a little bit of a punctuation. "And that is what we are." What a wonderful message that is, that we are called the children of God, and John underlines it, exclamation mark, that is what we are. The reason I want to know that is because the world has told you something else, right? The world has told you that you aren't worth much. The world has told you that you're not good enough, you're not smart enough, other people are better. And the Bible says God calls you his daughter, his son. I want you to leave church this morning thinking, I am a son of God. Because of my works? No. But because God said so. Right? God has forgiven us our sins and called us daughter. Daughter. Son. That's you. Matthew chapter 5, Jesus speaks the Beatitudes to all those people. It's great that each sentence begins with the word blessed, right? Blessed are you, except that all the second things he says don't sound very blessed. Blessed are those who are hungry and thirsty for righteousness. Blessed are those who are persecuted. Blessed are you when people hate you. You're thinking, Lord, your values are upside down. Guess whose values might be upside down? Maybe ours. We prize prosperity and acclaim and success. And the Lord says, blessed are you when these other things happen. You are blessed because great is your reward in heaven. Some people these days are discovering that maybe all prosperity isn't good for you. Have you heard this lately? That the super rich of our nation don't put their own children in their will? Have you heard that? The richest of the rich give their children or leave their children nothing. Why? It's not good for them, right? Blessed are you. Great is your reward. Do you hear that? Great is your reward in heaven. And you know why? Because all of your sins are forgiven and you're going there. How many of your sins are forgiven? See, I want to be clear about this. Psalm 32:1, blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven. One of the things I've discovered in ministry is that many Christians will think to themselves, I know his sins are forgiven because they're not that bad. But they'll say, Pastor, I have a secret sin, and it's really awful, and you don't know what it is, and you don't know how long it's nagged me. And you don't know how long I've accused myself and Satan has accused me, and I can't feel forgiven. Christians think that, right? There's this secret thing, and it's tearing me up. Is there any sin that cannot be covered by the blood of Christ? No. The message of grace, you're going to hear it over and over again, is that in Christ, not some, but all of your sins are forgiven. That's good news, right? The second thing is this. God wants us to grow. 2 Peter 3:18, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Hebrews 6, verse 1, therefore let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity. It's not enough to stay in place. We're supposed to move forward, to grow, to develop. And I don't mean the numerical growth of our congregation, although we want that, right? We want this congregation to impact this town. But he means the personal, individual growth and development of a believer. So how would you do that? I've come up with a list of what I'm going to call four spiritual disciplines. I'm going to talk about them quickly. We can talk about them in more detail other places. But here they are, real quickly. First one, weekly church attendance. I know, I'm talking to people in church. How often should you be in church? Every week. I'm not sure when this changed, but somehow in the last few years, people have decided that regular attendance is once a month. Not in my book. Weekly church attendance. When I was a little kid, my parents said, you're going to church if you're not sick or out of town. I'd say, when we serve in Connecticut, I'd say, you should be in church every week like I am. They would say, but Pastor, you're in church every week because you're the pastor. And I would say, but I wasn't a pastor when I was 8 years old. This country needs God. It needs God real badly, huh? Here's his house. Please come. Acts 20, verse 7, on the first day of the week we came together to break bread. Hebrews 10, verse 25, let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. It must have been a problem in the first century. Second spiritual discipline, daily Bible reading. How often should you read your Bible? Every day. I've noticed that some Christians think as long as the pastor knows the Bible, he'll tell us what to think. That doesn't sound very Lutheran, does it? First of all, most of us have trouble with anybody telling us what to think, right? Martin Luther, when he started the Reformation, you guys know the church tried to execute him for his work, and so he hid in a castle for his very life. And what did he do when he was in that castle? He sat around and played video games all day long. That's not what he did, is it? He translated the Bible into German. He wanted to say to the people, this is for you. Not for the theologians, yes, for them too, but for the people. Fun little fact to know. Martin Luther translated the entire New Testament from Greek to German in 10 weeks. No phone calls, right? No video game, no Facebook account. You could get some stuff done like that, right? Daily Bible reading, Psalm 119, 109. How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. Third thing, daily prayer. How often should we pray? Every day. Renee and I one time went to a retreat center for pastors and their wives. It was a very challenging question. There are pastors there, and they said, how's your devotional life? Well, guess how it was? It was full of good intentions, right? And it was also full of busyness. Last week, Pastor Voges, in talking about the Lutheran Reformation, was talking about the Lutheran tradition of morning prayer and evening prayer. I just said you should read the Bible every day and pray every day. You could do one in the morning and one in the evening. Actually, you can pray throughout the day. If you pray on Route 26, do not close your eyes. Here's a verse I love from Scripture, Jeremiah 33:3. God speaking to us, call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things. What a promise. Did you hear what God said? Great and unsearchable things. That he's waiting to speak to us. Does God have a word for Mount Olive in 2019? I think he does. I love to talk about history as much as the next person, but here we are in 2019. And if we would pray to him and listen, God would like to speak great and unsearchable things. Fourth spiritual discipline, be in a small group. What's a small group? Well, first of all, it's a group. And second of all, it's small, right? It is important to have a group of people that you're close to, people that you know and connect with and relate to. Renee's heard me say this thousands of times. You're going to hear it today, but you're going to hear it again. The best part of a small group is when somebody says, how's your mom? Right? It's that kind of compassion that says our lives are intertwined. We've all learned that life lesson. You don't need 1,000 friends, do you? What do you need? A few good ones, right? A few good ones. A Bible study is a small group. A home fellowship group is a small group. The choir is a type of a small group. Let me ask you this. Who invented small groups? What's the standard Sunday school answer to every question? Jesus did. Jesus invented small groups. Pastor, is that in the Bible? Yes. How many apostles did he have? 12, you say. Well, there it is, a small group ministry. One of my favorite verses in all of Scripture is Genesis 2:18. It says, it's not good for the man to be alone. That's etched into who you are. It is not good for a person to be alone. Yes, that passage is about marriage, I know, but it's about community, right? Us. It's not good to be alone. People today, if you take a poll, what's the number one complaint about from modern Americans? They are what? Lonely. And here's what? The people of God. You're saved by grace alone. All of your sins are forgiven in Christ. And God, having done that, he wants to grow you and continue to use you and work in you and through you. All you have to ask yourself is two questions. Am I forgiven? Yes. Don't have to answer this one. This is for you to answer yourself. Am I growing? Am I growing? In your bulletin insert this morning, there's a thing in there that says, read the Bible through in 3 years. No show of hands, but I'm just always wondering how many people have read the whole Bible. If you haven't, start this afternoon. There is the thing. I want you to take your bulletin insert home, stick it in your Bible. It's a chapter a day. If you read one chapter of the Bible a day, 3 years from now, you will have read all of Scripture. I will be doing it with you. I designed that system that's in there. How often should you read it? Every day. Holy Spirit, grow us. Amen.